The BBC is at it again. It live streamed this and then later apologized. And on the line to discuss this further is Rabbi Elchanan Pupko, who is an 11th generation rabbi. He is the author and host of the Jewish World podcast and the editor-in-chief of the new Wingate News. Rabbi, thanks so much for joining us. Why does the BBC always do the wrong thing and then sheepishly apologize?
That's exactly it. I mean, how many people were working on the tech side of things from the BBC live as those violent chants were being led and didn't pull the plug? They didn't move the cameras away. They didn't say anything until the public outrage came. And so this is not just a small oversight.
It's not. Do you think it's actually an editorial line of the BBC that they have consciously taken?
I mean, it's people who live just like this Bob Villain guy. They live in their echo chambers where hate is normalized and they think everybody else thinks like them. And they wake up the next morning discovering their shock that it's not like that. BBC has a Russian website where the other day they ran a whole article about things are fantastic in Tehran right now. And they had a picture of the Machane Yehuda market in Jerusalem. As if that's Tehran. They just put in so little into fact-checking things and just swallow any kind of propaganda or mistake that serves their side, because that's the world they live in.
Should these musicians who were at the concert and propagating this anti-Semitism, do you think they should be placed on a terror list?
Well, the good news is, in the past hour, it was announced that the visa to come to the United States has been revoked from Bob Villain, and he had a whole tour scheduled. You can see he had a tour across America. I hope that Canada is going to do the same, because he also has an announced tour in Canada. I hope they ban him from Canada as well, not just the United States. But there were other people there, like you're saying. There were people, it was a hate festival, and I hope other people are also held accountable.
The UK seems to be sinking down a rabbit hole of anti-Semitism. What are the chances of the same thing happening in the United States where you are?
It's definitely been increasing and normalized. And I think something that you see in the United States that you don't have in the UK is there's not only far left anti-Semitism, there's also far right anti-Semitism. So it's concerning, I think, for Jews all over. And we're monitoring it. We need to step up our efforts to fight back. But it's definitely on the rise here as well.
Has anti-Semitism now officially been normalized, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, you see Zohran Mamdani winning the election in New York City. It's become an asset. It used to be a liability. It used to be when you're anti-Semitic, you know, you would be shunned and not welcome in polite society. But what the Free Palestine Movement has done over the past 2 years has completely mainstreamed it and made it even an asset in many cases.
And you mentioned Zohran Mamdani having won the Democratic primary. That means he is now the official candidate in the New York City mayoral race representing the Democrats. New Yorkers traditionally vote Democrat, so he has a very strong chance of winning. And he's controversial, of course, because of his anti-Israel and anti-Jewish views and his socialist Soviet-era economic policies. Why should the Jews of New York be worried?
Well, the city of New York is in many ways a country. It's the police force has more than 40,000 people. The GDP, the money that goes through New York, is bigger than most countries. And so what happens in New York affects the whole world. The United Nations is in New York. And having a mayor that is going to use that platform to espouse anti-Semitism, to make things more difficult for everyone. I mean, if you just look at a bill that he as a city councilman put up, which would defund synagogues as long as they're not anti-Zionist and as long as they believe in Israel. I mean, that in and of itself is an example of how he would choke Jewish life in New York.
Should the Jews of New York prepare to fight him in the courts?
Yeah, you know, I don't believe a lot of times when something anti-Semitic happens in a country, people are like, OK, we should all run away here, run away there. I don't believe in that. I think you stand your ground, you stay where you are, you fight proudly. Obviously, if something's dangerous, it's dangerous. But, you know, in general, we should do more fighting back rather than just, you know, hide or run the other way.
Where is his support coming from and why?
So he ran mostly on economic policies, and he promised a lot of people a lot of free stuff, which is how he won. People don't, you know, it's populism that works. That's how communism took over many countries and victimized them. He promises a lot of free stuff, free healthcare, free public transportation, free childcare, all kinds of free things. And that's what people go for. The thing is, if he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan or other hate group, nobody would consider voting for him despite the economic appeal. And what happened with anti-Semitism is it's no longer considered a bad thing or something to be embarrassed of. And so even though he's, you know, openly anti-Semitic, he was still acceptable.
How will his election, or do you think his election, will affect the NYPD, the New York City Police Department, that currently has a Jewish commissioner?
We've seen a little bit of this in the past, in the year 2020, with the mayor, Bill de Blasio, who was also very progressive, and there was an extraordinary spike in crime. And it's going to affect people will leave. Also his base will turn on him, because there's certain things, you know, you just can't do. You can promise a lot, but then once he'll be in office, my prediction is he won't be able to live up to the, you know, dream Narnia standards that he promises everyone. And that's when things are going to get tougher.